You're listening to the Back Home Network, presented by Homefield Apparel.
And welcome, Hoosier fans, to another victorious episode of the Assembly Call, as tonight your Indiana Hoosiers dominate the Minnesota Golden Gophers 70-58 in the barn in a game that was not that close. Minnesota scored a few buckets there late, but Indiana, you know, jumped out to the big 8-0 lead. At one point in the first half, Minnesota did take a 23-18 lead. Khalil Ware with two fouls. It started to feel kind of tenuous, but Indiana roars back with a kill shot. It was a 10-0 run, 11-0 run, whatever it is, to take the lead back, and they would not give it up for the rest of the game, extending it out to double digits and nursing that for pretty much the entire second half. Just a terrific performance from Indiana, one of the toughest, most together, and most confident 40-minute performances that we've seen from Indiana this season. Ironically, you know, on the day when Zach Osterman reports that Mike Woodson will be back next year, a lot of, you know, obviously questions kind of surrounding his status, those were put to bed today. And, you know, Indiana, the players responded with a terrific performance. It brings Indiana to 17-13 on the season, 9-10 in conference play. Now in, I believe, sole possession of eighth place after beating Minnesota tonight, and sets up a game on Sunday against Michigan State on senior day for Indiana to potentially close the regular season out with four wins and really have some momentum heading into the Big Ten tournament. I'm your host, Jared Morris, here with Andy Bottoms and Ryan Phillips, and we are going to break it all down for you on this edition of the Assembly Call IU postgame show. And let's start the way we start every show, and that is with our Hoosier Proud banner moment. And for the banner moment, I'm going to go to the second half and really kind of the one moment when it legitimately felt like Minnesota might make a run. It was 41-30 Indiana. Minnesota finally scored. They're, you know, I mean, it was just quiet and dead in the barn all night long, but the fans were kind of up, and you know, kind of made a note to myself, okay, is this where Minnesota makes their run? Because I think as IU fans watching this team all season, you're kind of conditioned for the ups and downs and the ebbs and flows, and for Minnesota to make a run, and Indiana immediately shut the door on that with two straight McKenzie and Bacco threes, both of them assisted by Trey Galloway. It immediately put the lead up to 47-32. I think Khalil Ware would hit one soon thereafter, and that gave Indiana the cushion that they would need for the rest of the half, as Minnesota, you know, never really got closer, never really threatened. And that sequence was just indicative of what we saw all game long, which was, you know, just really good, talented players playing free, playing hard. I thought Indiana played extremely hard tonight, playing together, and most of all, playing with confidence. Those were two of the most confident three-pointers McKenzie and Bacco has taken all season long, and he drained them. And it was great to see, and Indiana really used the three-point shot in the second half after not making any in the first half to extend their lead and make sure Minnesota would have no shot to come back in this one. Excellent job by everybody tonight, but especially McKenzie and Trey and Khalil in that particular sequence. All right, let's talk now about our presenting sponsor. Our banner moment tonight, as always, brought to you by our friends at Homefield Apparel, now in their seventh season sponsoring the Assembly Call, and their third as the presenting sponsor for the Back Home Network. As you know, Homefield has the largest collection of vintage IU apparel that you will find anywhere, and with IU being their flagship school, they're always adding new stuff. There is new stuff coming later on this month, it looks like, with what they're doing for March, and I tell you, everything that they're releasing this month just looks great. You know, you saw the note about how they're going to do shooting shirts and jerseys. They released the Phi Slamma Jamma Houston Cougars shooting shirt, which just looked immaculate. They're always pushing the envelope, always adding new items and decorating those items with just some of the greatest logos and brands in the history of college sports. And that's what makes going to Homefield Apparel so much fun, because there's something for everybody and there's a story with every item. So go to homefieldapparel.com. You can use our promo code HOME23 and you'll get 15% off your entire first order. And make sure that you're following them. You know, whether you want to follow them on social media, get their mobile app, through email, whatever it is, you know, you want to follow them because number one, they have flash sales and you can get discounts for, you know, 20% off, even more than what ours is. And also you get alerted when new stuff comes out. Sometimes it's limited quantities. If it's something you really want, you want to make sure that you're able to hop on it right away. So the website, homefieldapparel.com, again, our promo code HOME23 will get you 15% off your first order. Wear one for the team. All right, gentlemen, it is time to move the ball, find the open man, and get some opening thoughts from the rest of our team. Andy, over to you. Your bottom's line on this Indiana W.
Well, it's clear we should just stop trying to figure this team out and just enjoy it when they play well and move along from there. So this was third straight game where there's really some great flashes. And again, so give them a lot of credit to be able to come through. And this was a game to me that was defined by, you know, the performances from Khalil Ware, Trey Galloway, and Mackenzie Mbako. Those three guys were absolutely fantastic in various stretches of the game, kind of took turns ripping Minnesota's heart out at different points in the game. And just really, those three were pretty much everything in the game. Renew did come through with some buckets late, but those three guys really carried a lot of the load early on, made big shots, as you said, in moments when Minnesota might have thought they were getting back in the game. And overall, I think the pace and ball movement, we've seen the pace seem to pick up over the last week and a half or so. This game was a little frenetic at times in the first half, a little sloppy at times in the first half when IU made a bunch of turnovers in a pretty short period of time in the first half. But they really reined that in large part over the rest of the game and had terrific ball movement. Ended the game with 28 assists on 30 made field goals, assisted on the first 21 made field goals. I believe if I went back and counted that correctly. And I think that spoke to, Galloway in particular, really getting the ball to guys in spots where they could attack and they could score and be successful. And so even though he had a flurry of turnovers there in the first half and the one where he threw it well over Xavier Johnson's head, late in the game.
He was trying to get the crowd into it, man.
He was.
If they had to watch that, give him a souvenir, right?
Yeah, exactly. But he was really in, he really controlled things, and another solid performance from him. So, just happy they were able to go in, get a win, played well. I think Minnesota certainly shot the ball poorly, but I give IU's defense some credit for that. They seemed to have a good game plan of how they wanted to get Dawson Garcia out of it. He ends up in double figures, but a lot of that was late when the game didn't really matter at that point. And so I thought they came in with a good game plan, executed it, were able to score most of their points in the paint, and then really open things up from three in the kind of the mid to late portion of the second half. And anytime you can get a double digit win on the road in the Big Ten, you'll take it. So excellent performance. And like I said, I think the key was stop trying to figure everybody out, let them play, see what happens. And they seem to be having fun at least, which is, I think, more than you could say at different points in the season. They were into the game, really came out focused and passionate. And whatever has happened over these last few games, I give everybody associated with the program credit for kind of righting the ship a little bit here late in the season, at least getting some momentum going down the stretch.
Absolutely. Fourth straight win at the Barn. So we've exercised some demons there. Ryan, what's on your mind after this IU performance?
Well, that was fun. Yeah. When was the last time Indiana had a game that we didn't have to sort of sweat out? I mean, or at least, you're winning by a certain amount, but you're like, it should be more. You're going to win down the stretch, but it should be more. And I just want to address something because it's the elephant in the room that everybody's been talking about all day is Mike Woodson will be back next year. And I think last week we did the state of the program show. I think we all were kind of like, he'll probably be back. I think we all kind of were in that camp and we said what we thought. If you want to, listen to that, go there. Last week, that show was there. It was what, 2 hours. I mean, we went pretty deep, but what I'll say to people, and there are a lot of people who were upset about that decision. I heard a lot of it. There's some people who are really excited about it and think it was the right move and all that. And, we can all certainly argue on that. But what I'll say is just enjoy the team. Don't focus on that. Try and enjoy what's left of this season. Try and have fun with it. And you know what? If it turns out poor, if something turns out poorly, well, you were expecting that. So don't be too upset about it. But, you know, a night like tonight, that was fun. Watching those kids play the way they played, watching Trey Galloway dish out was 11 assists. You know, he's creeping up on an Indiana record for assists in the Big Ten. I mean, enjoy this. Khalil Ware, you're only going to get a handful more games of him, and then he's going to go to the NBA and be a great representative for Indiana in the NBA. Kenzie Mbako, hey, he keeps playing like this, he's going to be there too. You know, I mean, enjoy this while you've got it. And college basketball, we all get caught up in it, and we do this. And sometimes it feels like a chore and a struggle, but this is supposed to be fun. And when it's not fun, take a break and step away. And, you know, we want you to come listen and watch this. Trust me, we love to have you here and interact with you, and we love to get the downloads, and all of that stuff is great for us. But if it's not, if you can't have fun with this, just step away for a little bit. Tonight was fun, and I have my thoughts on the program, but this was fun, and it was a great time watching that. And anytime Indiana wins, it's a good thing. I don't care what your thoughts are on the program or the coach or whatever. It's great watching Indiana win. So tonight was fun. Let's celebrate it for being fun, and let's just enjoy it. And on senior day, let's go cheer those kids on. If they win it, that's four in a row. A four-game winning streak in the Big Ten is fun no matter what your record is. Let's go do that as well. Come on. Let's all try and, like, enjoy this and not be thinking about big picture, three years down the road, whatever. Enjoy what's going on in front of you and enjoy these players while you can.
A message that is very well delivered and received on a night like tonight when the game was so much fun, you know?
It's true.
I mean, but
well, that's
really,
when you
I
have
mean,
to this... deliver it. Nobody's going to listen otherwise.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, but so much of what we saw tonight, Andy, are the things that we, you know, that we had that we didn't see for a lot of the season. And, you know, I thought you go back to that first half and there were a lot of really bad turnovers, right? You know, Trey had some passes that, I mean, he's just throwing it right to guys. X had a few passes that you're just like, Xavier, what are you doing? And yet, I think a lot of that was just a byproduct of the way that they were playing, which was free and fast, and you're going to have some turnovers when that happens. But, you know, one of the things we've seen from this team is when things go poorly or there's a bad play, a lot of times it compounds itself, you know, and for whatever reason that is. And that just did not happen tonight. You know, if there would be a bad play and Minnesota would score, fine. We'll just go down and we'll get it into Khalil, or McKenzie will hit a three, or Trey will drive, or Anthony Leal will, you know, make a hustle play and get us a loose ball, whatever it is. And that was just so great to see from this team, you know, and just the togetherness that they played with. But I really thought, you know, when we've seen this over the last few games, but playing with pace, you know, getting out, playing faster, not having everything so oriented around, okay, we got to go down, get in our half court set, dump it down into the post. It's just a more fun style of basketball that they've been playing. And you can just see it, you know, with the players. I mean, they don't seem to be second guessing themselves right now on mistakes. They make it, they move on, and they go make a play. That is fun basketball to watch. And that is winning basketball at this level for talented guys. I mean, this team has talented players. Khalil, talented. McKenzie, talented. They, you know, both may be in the NBA next year. I mean, McKenzie's growth over the last few weeks has just been incredible.
The trajectory is what's going to put him there. It's the rapid improvement is what would put him there if he decides to go. And I think NBA teams would be stupid not to draft him given his size, his shooting ability, all of that. But we'll see
what
happens.
He's a great developmental project.
Yeah, 100%.
Sure. But, you know, Andy, maybe just speak to the pace. You know, I don't know if everything is related to that, but it does just seem like we're just playing faster and freer. And, you know, when you can do that with talented players and you have a guy like Trey that can make it all work, that's winning basketball.
Yeah, I just, like I said, we've been kind of clamoring for that a little bit over the course of the season, just because this team is going to struggle to score at times in the half court. And so trying to push the tempo, get some fast break points. You know, tonight IU ends up with 19 fast break points. That, you know, for a team that has some shooting struggles and things like that, but some of the threes they did get were more transition threes, and where you get the defense scrambling because you're, you know, just because you're putting a little bit of pressure on the defense. And so you're right, that stretch in the first half was really bad. You know, I think there was one point, it was 7 of 13 possessions were turnovers at one point. But I think what the difference was in a game like tonight versus some of the others this season is they kind of righted the ship on both ends. at that point. That was really where they had that. I think it was a 12-2 run to close out the half, and really only allowed Minnesota to score on one of their last 11 trips in the first half. So they got a few things going offensively. I think the bucket that started that was the Ware kind of running hook where they got it into him early. He gets across the lane, makes a shot. But I think just being able to get some early, at least try to get something early. If it doesn't work, you can always go to your ball screen stuff late. And certainly late in the game, they tried to run clock a little bit and didn't get into that as much. But I just think it's going to help this team to play and think a little bit less and just get into some, you know, simpler things. And I just thought they were, like I said, Galloway was the guy who was really orchestrating all that. And he has gotten more and more comfortable in that playmaking role. And they, you know, we talked about, you know, after one of the games about what his assist rate already was. I mean, he's just going to get better on a game like tonight where, you know, he dishes out 11 again, third game. And I think the last five or six, at least, where he's had double digit assists. And so he's getting comfortable on that. I think with him, you're going to live with some of the turnovers of what he's trying to make, because I think he's seeing in large part the right plays. Just couldn't get the ball there at times. But I thought that they stuck with it and they didn't go back to, hey, we're going to slow it down and try to figure things out. They kind of work through mistakes over the course of the game and then improve within the flow of the game. And that was really different than Minnesota, who continued to make the same mistakes over and over and over again, whether that was quick threes.
We feel your pain, Minnesota.
Or bad passes, trying to make cross-court passes that IU was getting their hands in passing lanes and some of those kinds of things. And I thought that was ultimately the difference in the game of the two teams, was that IU was able to work through that, still play how they wanted to play. That didn't change what their game plan was, but Minnesota just kept banging their head against the wall doing the same thing, and IU was more than happy to take advantage.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, you're talking about Trey and the playmaking and how he did have five turnovers tonight, but the alternative for Indiana is nobody making plays, you know, in that with that capacity to make plays. I mean, very few of their guys, even Xavier Johnson, just it's hard for them to break down the defense and get into the lane. And Trey, just it seems like when he wants to attack, when he gets the ball, he's already at full speed. And everybody else, it feels like, has to start from zero and get, you know, shift the gears and get up going. He catches it ready to go. And I think that's, it puts so much more pressure on the defense. So when he does turn it over, you know, you're going to get that back when he's having a good game. You know, you're going to get that turnover back. And the other thing is, tonight, five turnovers. He also had five steals. So he made up for those five turnovers by taking the ball back on the other end. So I thought it was a great, and if it weren't for the numbers for some of the other guys, I think he'd be a pretty clear bet for game ball. But I think
he may deserve it anyway. I think it's one of the best games he's ever played.
I would agree. And it's up there. And that's, again, he turned the ball over five times. And we're talking about what a great game he had. That's just indicative of the kind of way he was running the offense and the way he was attacking. I mean, that's when you've gotten good Trey and you've gotten more of him consistently over the last half of the second half of this season. When you've had him over the years, and he has a different team when he's attacking that way. So a great game from him. And I agree with Andy that the offense is just, it's different and it's been different. And a page got turned with this team. I don't know if it's coaching or if it's the players just not feeling pressure when things got so bad. I don't know what it is, but something has changed where they're playing a lot faster, a lot freer. They're feeling way more comfortable shooting the ball because there's just no downside if you miss, I guess, at this point of the season. And it really has taken the pressure off of them, it feels like, and they're just going out there playing. We were texting. We said it almost feels like a high school team went out and played pickup against random guys, you know, so they knew each other and they ran a couple plays and things like that. But they just kind of are playing freely as opposed to feeling confined to a system. That's what it feels like over the last couple weeks.
Yeah, well, I mean, tonight it looked like they played eight random students from the University of Minnesota. Because
they may have, guys. I don't know what those guys look like normally. I haven't watched a lot of Minnesota basketball this year,
so. Look, you know, and they've been playing better. So, you know, and that's why this is a game. And Minnesota was favored by six, I think, heading in. You know, they'd been getting Andy some, you know, some very bubblish buzz. I mean, very outskirts of the bubble, but there was a little buzz there. Hey, if they can win this and finish strong, you know, they'd been playing at least well enough to be in that conversation. But Ryan, you mentioned the five steals from Trey Galloway, and that leads us to talking about the defense, because Indiana ends up with 12 steals defensively. You know, they had several block shots. And look, I think,
how many deflections too, that just
tons
didn't become steals
and loose balls.
Easy there, 50, Tom Crean. Easy. Hey,
you know what?
That is
the
how
man
you're
was decent here, Andy.
That's right. But look, for Minnesota to only score 58 points, they played a part in that because they were terrible.
Yes,
they missed shots. They turned the ball over.
It was the flattest performance by a team not coached by Archie Miller I think I've ever seen in my life. Like, they had no juice, but they're a good team.
But there have been other games where, you know, the arena's been flat, and that's been an excuse for Indiana to struggle too. And Indiana did not. They brought their own energy, you know, their own kind of intensity to the game, and I think really helped compound Minnesota's issues. And it almost just kind of felt like Minnesota wasn't really up for the fight tonight. But I give Indiana credit for punching first and continuing to punch back. You know, we've just seen the last three games. I think one of the things that's changed, you know, the defensive numbers haven't been great. I mean, you give up 70 to Wisconsin, 78 to Maryland. They've given up some points. Tonight was obviously better, but the defense has been more connected. There have been fewer of just the, you know, ridiculous offensive rebounds for the other team, fewer breakdowns. They're making teams beat them, and sometimes those other teams are. But like tonight with Minnesota, you just play solid. Minnesota's going to throw you the ball. But, you know, Indiana gave up nothing easy. You know, and I think, you know, Xavier Johnson being back helps that. He helps this team defensively for as many challenges as he had offensively tonight. He does help the team defensively, even just in terms of depth. But, you know, this was definitely a game where both sides of the court were working for Indiana. And, you know, if they can carry this defense into Sunday, they'll give themselves a good chance to beat Michigan State, too.
Yeah, and you mentioned the sort of the atmosphere and teams getting dragged into the atmosphere and IU not. That's true, because Minnesota got dragged into that arena was dead. And I tweeted out, if you need to go somewhere for silent reflection, go to the barn right now, because it's just absolutely dead. And Minnesota allowed itself to get sucked into that, and Indiana didn't. And we've seen Indiana get sucked into those things before. Plenty of Big Tens do, and it becomes a rock fight, just an awful atmosphere and, you know, just a dead arena. You see it a lot of times in like the early December conference games and things like that. Indiana did not do that, and Indiana kept the tempo and kept the energy up with a few little lulls in there that you're going to get when playing a decent team. But for the most part, they attacked all game. They kept their energy up, and they played hard all game when – you know, it's very easy, especially on the road, to get sucked into that vortex of just a dead atmosphere and nothing going on and no energy. And they did not do that. So that's a big credit to them.
Andy, we should probably talk about the 7-foot guy that scored 26 points, had 11 boards, 3 assists, 3 blocks, and a steal. You know, because he was fairly awesome tonight. You know, and I think what was really impressive is, you know, he picked up 2 fouls. And so he finished with 3, Renu finished with 3, but it felt like they were kind of battling foul trouble all night long because they got those fouls early. They both got 3 early in the second half. But, you know, Renu had his second foul. Ware picks up his second one really close to when it was 23-18. And Mike Woodson let him play. Now, you know, was his hand forced a little bit because Renu already had 2 fouls? Yes. But, hey, we've seen him sit both those guys before. So credit to Woody for letting him play, and credit to Khalil for being impactful without fouling. You know, he had to make, you know, kind of a business decision a couple times, like that one where in the second half where Parker Fox has a breakaway and he just kind of let him go. So he was smart with the fouls. But man, it was another offensive performance where you saw it all. Stepping out and making 3s, you know, scoring with his back to the basket, the little running, you know, scoop shot, hitting a little turnaround. You know, and he just continues to be a terrific player. And I thought he really came out with an intensity early. You know, attacking rebounds, you know, playing strong, you know, which is something that, you know, his production has been there. But sometimes that, you know, just toughness to go battle for a rebound hasn't always been there. And I thought he really showed that tonight for pretty much the entire time he was on the court.
Yeah, I thought the decision to leave him in was the right decision, to your point, maybe forced a little bit. But IU was winning at the time. And those are some of the scenarios where Woodson earlier in the season has gone and basically taking the approach that as long as IU can keep the lead, I'm willing to keep this guy on the bench. And he didn't do that. And I think it's pretty clear based on kind of how they were picking up fouls that if you were going to trust one of them, he was the one you got to trust. But he rewarded him not only with not getting in foul trouble, but he had 6 or 8 points during that, during the stretch right after he left him in. And then they took him out toward the end of the half and put Sparks in. And I thought that made sense as well. Like, you roll the dice, you got as far as you needed to. You were up 5, 6, 7 points during that stretch and kind of thought that they could ride it out and did a nice job of that. And then also with him, the number of minutes that he's been playing was able to give him a little bit extra rest so that he could really go most of the way in the second half. There were some weird foul calls. It probably could have gone, you know, one could have gotten assigned to this guy. One could have got assigned to somebody else. So they kind of lucked. I guess it kind of balanced itself out a little bit with him in the half. But I think a couple of things that you see from him on the defensive end, he has, I think people have said all year, oh, he's really a great rim protector and a deterrent to guys coming in the lane. I don't know that I necessarily felt that way early on, but he's gotten so much better at being able to pick his spots on when to challenge shots, even within the first couple of plays of the game, might've been the very first one, you know, really made a tough, you know, challenged a shot. Then a play or two later, really good patience, didn't go for shot fakes, just pain under, you know, behind the basket and then block the shot when he went up. I think he's gotten a lot better in that regard. And he made some terrific passes. He and Galloway are really working well together on some, you know, lobs and different things that they've done. It's usually Galloway throwing it to him, but he had a nice one to Trey as well. And certainly his height doesn't help. It doesn't hurt this, but he sees the game well and sees the next pass when Minnesota would trap and what they were trying to do off of some of the ball screens. If you got him the ball in the middle, he knew exactly where he was going to go with it. And so I think, you know, you've continued to see that growth. And then the shot making is certainly important. He was able to make some of those turnaround shots in the, you know, was able to run the floor and get dunks, was able to, you know, make it some, you know, the running hook shot, hit a couple threes. I mean, he pretty much had the whole arsenal on display offensively about what made him so intriguing. And, you know, certainly got some tough rebounds in traffic, did a good job, and I think played a big role in the way they were able to keep Garcia in check as well. So just a really another solid all-around performance from him, one that we've become accustomed to. I think he finished with three blocks, probably, you know, altered a number of others as you go through that. And so just, man, he set the tone and from those first couple of possessions defensively, and to the extent that you want to credit IU's defense for the performance like this, I think he had a lot to do with that.
I don't know, Ryan. Stephen Barta was saying Khalil could really benefit from another year with Cliff Marshall. Maybe. Right.
Yeah. let's get your hopes up for that, everybody. I refuse to indulge those rumors.
Is he on a 3-year plan or are we?
I'm not saying anything that could be clipped and used against me, and you're probably going to clip that and use it against me. But there's one play that showed to me the difference between Khalil Ware now and Khalil Ware last year at the beginning of the season. He had a turnover. What's the kid's name? The Parker Fox, which sounds like a Fox character from the 80s. He went down the court and tried to draw him in to another foul and ball faked. And Khalil, Indiana had a big lead, was just like, nope, just going to let him go and lay that up. And, you know, he was standing there, but he wasn't going to challenge a shot, wasn't going to try and block it. The pump fake just stayed. And the kid got the two, got, you know, scores. Indiana goes back down and it goes back to work. Don't get your fourth foul there. Whatever you do, you're having such a dominant game. We can't, you know, Indiana can't afford to put you on the bench at that point. And it was just a smart play. It's like, okay, give up the 2 points. You're going to get them back on the other end. Minnesota can't score. Let them just get these two. You're up by enough where it's not a concern. And it's just maturity. And it's things like that. And understanding your importance to the team and being aware of the situation and all of that, to not just flail to get another block, but to just, you know, live to fight another day, was just smart. And it's just shows some maturity and a difference from probably who he was last year, who he was early in the year, and where he is now. He knows how important he is to the team. He's got to stay on the court.
Slight correction. Parker Fox more likely to be in a 90s sitcom, probably the love interest.
That's true. You're right.
Nev
90s.
Campbell, Jennifer Love Hewitt. You know,
you're 100% right. It 90s for sure. Yeah.
Was he on One Tree Hill? Do we know for sure that he wasn't?
Very well.
We'll look into that. Researchers, get on that. Let us know. Yeah, producer, thanks.
Yeah. Coming right up. All right. Just a quick reminder. Go to assemblycall.com. You can subscribe to our free email newsletter. But let's keep going here, fellas. Fun night of basketball to discuss. And as we continue our breakdown of Indiana's 12-point win over Minnesota, we'll point out tonight's meaningful moments you might have missed and then go inside the numbers to highlight the most important statistical notes from the game. You're listening to the Assembly Call. Stick with us.
The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This is Verdell Jones. What's better than an epic buzzer beater? A full court dribble and a perfectly placed pass to set it all up. And, of course, celebrating with Hoosier Nation afterwards. So join Jared, Andy, Ryan, and Coach on an assembly call after every IU basketball game. Go Hoosiers.
Thank you, Verdell. You are listening to the Assembly Call IU postgame show. I'm Jared Morris here with Ryan Phillips and Andy Bottoms, and we are breaking down Indiana's 12-point win over Minnesota, and it is time now for tonight's meaningful moments you might have missed.
Meaningful moments that you might have missed.
And this segment brought to you by our friends at Hoosier Ticket Project, where they help individuals and families experience IU athletic events in person for the first time through the generosity of alumni and fans. To learn more about how you can donate money or extra tickets to help create meaningful moments for other IU fans, visit HoosierTicketProject.org. That's HoosierTicketProject.org. So before we get to meaningful moments that actually involved plays on the court, the most meaningful moment to me was the very end of the game. Khalil Ware hits that three-pointer that puts Indiana at 70 points, and you kind of see him pointing over to someone on the bench, and they pan over, and it's Anthony Walker, who had gotten hurt a few minutes earlier. I don't know if there have been any reports. I haven't seen anything about what they said, or I didn't see nothing if he was yet walking or anything. It certainly looked – it didn't look great when he crumpled to the ground. And I thought Anthony gave some nice minutes, you know, had a few wild shots, but really played hard. And I thought, you know, just, you know, really, you know, had some impactful defensive plays. But it was nice to see him on the bench. It's nice to see, you know, the guy smiling and kind of see that connection that they have. So that was meaningful. But Andy, I want to go back to early in the game, you know, because we talked about Mackenzie Mbako earlier, and the 2 3-pointers, and then the one that he hit later in the half, you know, were obviously kind of the headline plays. That's why he was recruited to Indiana. That is the big ticket skill that is going to really attract NBA scouts. But I have a feeling there's a segment in the first half that they're going to really like as well, which shows some of the little things that he's developed, both on defense and offense. And, you know, you remember Indiana starts out 8-0. Minnesota comes right back with a 6-0 run. They scored their first points because Mackenzie Mbako fouled Cam Christie on a 3-pointer. Not a great play. Christie goes and makes it. That made it 8-4. But when it was 8-6, you know, Trey Galloway had one of those terrible passes. He threw it across court. It got picked off. Mackenzie Mbako hustled back. Christie was about to take another three. Mackenzie was undeterred from his previous foul, blocked that three-point attempt, and then stayed with the play. You know, the ball was kind of loose over on the right side. It ended up, I don't remember if it got, you know, deflected or passed into the middle, but he ends up with the ball because he stuck with the play, was hustling, was aware. That ended up in a Trey Galloway layup on the other end off a nice pair from nice pass from Khalil Ware. And then on the very next possession, Mackenzie Mbako, I can't remember if this was the little curl cut that that went around or if he drove, but he had a nice little interior bucket. Oh, that's right. Trey Galloway was driving, and he made a really nice cut toward the basket. And as Trey's defender came over, Trey dumped it down to him. And it's just those little things, Andy. You know, number one, the hustle to get back. Number two, you know, the ability to correct himself in the game and not foul, but still challenge the three-point shot. The awareness to and wherewithal to stay with the play and get the loose ball. And then just the recognition that, hey, if I cut now, I'm going to be able to get a bucket. Like, those are things we didn't see from him earlier in the season. And just that confidence and that ability to play in the flow of the game and the recognition, all these little things are just improving for him. And I just thought that was such a great segment showing his growth as a basketball player. Like, we know he can shoot, but he's really becoming a better basketball player here as we go down the stretch of the season.
Yeah, I mean, I noted a couple nice passes that he had. You go to the beginning of the second half, he was able to knock the ball away, pick it up, had a really nice hit ahead to Galloway for a layup. I think it was Galloway at least. And so I think you see some of those things. And in the basket, I feel like we've gotten on a lot of times and talked about the basketball IQ of this team. And it, for whatever reason, seems to, you know, the play that Ryan mentioned with Khalil Ware showed an understanding of how important you are in this situation and how to handle it. I think some of the, what you talked about with Mbako has shown the same thing of being able to make smart passes, understand when to drive. And he's really been finishing well, had a nice little hook shot at one point in there. And then that really for him, it seems like, although early in the season, yeah, he would spend a lot of his time, he would hit those threes early in games. I think it actually seems like it's been helpful for him to get inside, drive a little bit, see the ball go through the basket, and then let the three-point shot come a little bit later. And he had some big ones in the second half and just was playing with such confidence at that point. And I think you look at him, you look at some of the defense, and it was funny. My wife and I were sitting there watching. She's like, man, he's just gotten so much better. And I was like, yeah, he's even – and then as I started to talk about he's, you know, improving on defense, he missed like three guys go by for layup. But I think it was after one of the threes. But he's just playing really hard. I think he's somewhat emblematic of the team. I think he's making up for things that he might be doing wrong on the defensive end by trying to play hard. And sometimes that leads to you fouling a three-point shooter, which is obviously not ideal. But I do think he has at least a little bit better understanding of what it is, and he's making decisions and just kind of going with it at times. And so, yeah. You know, he got crossed up on miscommunications a couple of times. I think that's going to continue to be a potential area of growth for him. But I think he's made up for that, and some of the indecision that was there is gone, and he's making a decision, and he's willing to live with it from there. But I think, as you said, offensively, he's really, really come around as well. And you've been able to see more of the diversity in his game that everybody talked about coming in but didn't really show itself early on. They talked about different things that he could do, and you would watch him at times. It's like, yeah, you don't see it or you don't see it consistently. And his emergence over the, you know, it has really gone to another level over the last couple of weeks. It's, you know, he had that stretch there where he was in double figures almost every game, but it's even stepped up even more here over the last few.
Yeah, I think to me, it doesn't look like he's gotten better physically or any, he just looks comfortable. And I think that if you watch his high school film, he's playing the way he did then. And so I think it's just a matter of high school guy goes to college, gets kind of wowed by the environment and kind of, you know, goes into a shell a little bit, which happens to so many freshmen, five-star or not. They're just overwhelmed by the athleticism, by the bigger spotlight, all of that stuff. And I think that's what happened here. And I think the defense was a big part of that. It's just he wasn't used to defending. Let's be honest. He got away with not having to defend his entire life because of his size, his skill, all of that stuff. And he was always the best player that was on the floor, so it came easy to him. Again, happens to a lot of these top high school players when they come to realize, oh, I've actually got to like get in a stance and defend somebody. All right, this is getting real. But what's happened with him is it just looks like he's slowly gotten comfortable at this level, and the light has started to go on like, oh, I'm better than most of these people, and I can play like I'm better than most of these people. And he's got this confidence now. You see him attacking a lot more. For weeks, he would just stand on the three-point line and shoot and really not move a whole lot. You wouldn't see him driving unless he got a rebound inside the three-point line. He wasn't coming off the three-point line. Now he's driving. He's being aggressive. He's going in and following his shot. He just looks like a different player, and it's not, again, like he's all of a sudden discovered a skill. It's just getting comfortable and knowing he can open up the entire toolbox and use everything to attack. And that's what you've seen. I mean, go watch his high school film. This is the guy who he always has been. It's just a matter of feeling comfortable. It's a shame it took until this long, but it's been a gradual progression we've seen. It wasn't a light going off. It was almost like someone was slowly turning the dimmer switch up, and now you're starting to see who he really is.
The other guy I want to talk about here in this segment, Andy, is Xavier Johnson, who I don't think by any measure had a good game tonight. You know, 2 points, 5 assists, 4 turnovers. You know, that's not the stat line you're looking for from their sixth-year senior. But it's impossible to ignore that Indiana is now 3-0 since he returned, and they were 1-5 in the 6 games he missed after the Iowa game. And I think when you look at tonight, you know, again, too many turnovers. You know, we were texting about that play he had in the second half where he's guarding the guy in the corner, doesn't get a call. He complains about it, gets out of position, and then that ends up leading to a Khalil Ware foul. It's like, X, don't do that. You know, his shot selection, he passed up the one layup and then ends up taking like a weird shot off the dribble early in the shot clock. So there were a lot of things wrong with what X did tonight. But I thought there were a couple plays late in the second half that really show the value he brings even when he's not playing well. Because, you know, what has been an issue for this team is lulls, right? And God, Trey Galloway has to do everything. And if Trey has a couple possessions where he's struggling and doesn't get the team into the offense, the team just goes in a drought. Well, you know, Minnesota, you know, again, they were never able to get it within 10, but they had a couple times there in the second half where it's like, oh, you know, Parker Fox made a play. They're within 13. And Xavier Johnson comes down on the other end of the shot clock, and scores on that little spin move, right? The very next possession or soon after that, you know, Minnesota hits a three. It's within 13 again. The crowd's going a little bit. X gets it on the right wing, drives, finds McKenzie and Bacco for a three-pointer. So you see him able to take the burden of creation off of Trey Galloway at times. And I think at the start of the season, we thought, okay, X is your primary creator, Trey is your secondary guy. Those roles have been flipped, but Gabe Cupps can't do that. CJ Gunn can't do that. And so when you have X, you have those possessions like that, where it's like, you know, getting those 5 points right there was really big just to make sure Minnesota didn't get any momentum. So again, you know, not a good overall performance from Xavier, but I think these are the reasons why his teammates feel more comfortable when he's out there, because it's a second guy. If Trey, you know, isn't able to do it or you know, needs a rest, it's a second guy who can go create. And I thought those couple of plays that X had there in the second half were just really important in just making sure Minnesota stayed at arm's length. Because, you know, look, all we have to do is remember 2 seasons ago when it looked like Indiana had that game in the bag and Minnesota scores like 20 points late, you know, to almost come back and win it. So those plays were important for making sure Minnesota never got any hope.
Yeah, I think he certainly, if you look at the splits from the first half to the second, it's pretty different for him. You know, had 3 turnovers in 7 minutes in the first half. I thought Woodson was going to come out on the court and strangle him after the attempted behind the back pass that led to a turnover there. But in the second half, he only had 1 turnover, which was one he telegraphed as Ware's asking for the ball out top and gave the ball away in that scenario, but did have 4 assists within the half. And so I still think he's trying to figure out what his role is as he comes back. I think that leads to him not taking that shot on the backdoor cut. It's a great cut. Just take the shot. But I think he's still trying to figure out how to facilitate and how to fit in with some of the things that are working. So that part of it, certainly would like them to take the shot, but can understand that maybe he's trying to sort some things out in that regard. But I think you saw in this game, Minnesota at least was, they were trying to trap off a lot of the ball screens. They were trying to really put ball pressure on. And I think being able to have him in there with Trey down the stretch was important, and they could kind of take turns, to your point, of being the guy who needs to do that. And so, you know, for him, it's kind of the same as he's ever been. You got to figure out how to get him playing with the kind of passion and emotion that you want him to, and the, and the pace that you want him to, while not getting too far the other way. And I thought he did a good job of reining that back in the second half, in large part with, with the decision making and things like that. And when Renew got a little bit in foul trouble there, and they were kind of had their best stretch of the second half, they were both out there. It was him and Trey and Leal with Mbako at the four. And you know, that was one of the better stretches for the team, at least if I'm remembering the lineup correctly, that was out there. So I think if this team wants to surprise anybody down the stretch, it will certainly be in part because he's doing something, not in spite of him being back.
Any other moments that you gentlemen would like to point out before we move on?
You got one. I said you got mine.
Oh, okay.
So that was weird. Was your tone of voice through?
Yeah, that was unclear on me.
What was happening? What I will say about some of the passing, I just thought there was a lot of patience at different times. I thought Galloway, the one where he pitched it back to Mbako for the three, was, again, we talked earlier about adjusting to the game and being smarter within the game. I think in the first half, that's when he's probably really trying to get downhill. He was so patient, though, put enough pressure on the defense to force them to get back, but knew that Mbaka was going to be back there and pitched it back to him. And I just thought, you know, there was patience in that regard. I think there was another play. This is one that Barta had called out on the broadcast. Anthony Leal,
yes,
sprints back on defense, doesn't give up an easy basket to Garcia. Minnesota gets an open three, but misses it. Leal takes it down. Again, the same kind of patience, drives in a little bit, kicks it back to Galloway, who's cutting toward the basket, and he gets a floater. So I just think some of those things of, like, you can play with pace, but not put your head down and go to the basket without any regard for what you're doing. And I thought in those situations, they pushed the ball up the floor, waited for things to develop behind them almost, and were able to get baskets out of that. And that just feels like I don't know if that's a comfort thing. Again, we can sit here all night and try to figure out what we think the reason for some of that is, but I just thought it was smart basketball of getting into things early, but not force the dribbler, not forcing the action in order to set somebody else up to get a better shot.
Leal, 3 boards, 4 assists, 2 steals in 17 minutes? No, 23 minutes. Really good minutes from Anthony Leal. Just solid, yep, defensively out there doing Anthony Leal things.
And there were a few times on offense he was open and the reversal was just a bit slow. And, you know, Minnesota was able to close out to him, so he didn't get the three off. But he moved the ball well. He didn't get discouraged from that. I thought there were good minutes from Anthony tonight.
Yep.
And I think it's good sometimes to have you talk about what IU has been, at least we've texted some about this, what it feels like they're missing from a roster standpoint. There's certainly more than one thing that they're missing, but is just having solid role guys to be out there to go and do something that you don't feel like you have to get shots for, that don't have that expectation coming in. And you saw that he was a big part of that lineup, but you didn't need him to score when you had Galloway playing well and Ware playing well and Mbaka playing well with that unit. And X out there as maybe a secondary playmaker, something like that. He could spot up and take shots if they came. He almost got a nice putback. I think that might have been the first half that he just missed. And but in general, like, he was playing hard, and he's not a guy who you need to do that with. But defensively, is always going to be in the right spot. People want to continue to try to, like, post him up. I know Fox tried to do that, made a tough shot over him, but I think people think that they're going to be able to back him under the basket, and you're just not. Yeah, and
not happening.
No. So I think he just gives you a steadiness that this team needs, and let the other guys be the flashy players. And it's okay to have him be the guy who's just doing the little things and being in the right spots.
Yeah. I think one thing that gets overlooked in roster construction is the superstars are the most valuable thing you can get, a 5-star who can, you know, score and do all the things. The second most valuable thing are guys who impact the game that don't show up in the box score. You get a couple of those guys on your team who scrap and get loose balls and tip things around, maybe don't get the steal, but deflect it to the guy who gets the steal, or guys who are always in the right position, guys who know the offense backwards and forwards and can move the ball. Those guys are invaluable, especially at a high level when you are trying to win in tight games. And the Big Ten is always a tight game conference. Those guys are wildly important. So when you're constructing your roster, it's not just about the stars. It's about getting guys who are going to stay on campus for years and become huge program players. That is necessary if you want to win long term, instead of just cycling in top level guys. That's why Kentucky, for the longest time, would do this 8 5-star thing and not go anywhere, because they were missing the glue program guys that you need to win at a high level. And I think Anthony is a great example of that. Trey's a guy like that. You know, if he were in his proper role, he'd be a perfect example of that, where he doesn't need to score 13 points in game for you to win. He just needs to be energetic, move the ball, pass the ball, you know, be in the right spot defensively and provide that burst of energy when you need it, get on the floor, maybe have a you know, momentum changing dunk or whatever, but they don't need to be superstars and put up superstar numbers to be important.
Yep. All right, let's talk numbers, brought to you by Jackson Hewitt Tax Services. If you live in Bloomington or the surrounding areas and you want your taxes done right, contact our friend and Chat Mob Hall of Famer Megan Mahaffey and her team in Bloomington, Bedford, and Martinsville by calling 812-339-3334 or by visiting jacksonhewitt.com. Well, guys, Coach Tonsoni is not here tonight, but I will play the role of Coach Tonsoni here in pointing out the number. What does Coach talk all the time about, especially with this team? share the ball. The ball has to move. The ball has to be shared. That is what Indiana did tonight, Andy. You want to make it so no one worries about 14 turnovers, several of which were just kind of like boneheaded live ball passes that had no shot? Go get 28 assists on 30 field goals. I mean, that is remarkable. I don't remember a ratio that high in the time that we've been doing this.
I've never seen that before.
It can't get much higher. So that, look, I mean, that is the number of the game. 28 assists on 30 made field goals. And that is how you compensate for the turnovers. And that's why, to me, you know, look, so many things in basketball, you can't just look, you know, 14 turnovers. Is that good or bad? I don't know. What pace did you play at? You know, did you counter it with assists? Were guys trying to make plays? And in this case, yes, the turnovers, I thought, were just a product of a team that was playing fast, playing with pace, but they were so committed to sharing the ball, sometimes they made some ill-advised passes. But boy, overall, it worked out for them. 28 assists on 30 field goals is just a ridiculous number. What numbers stood out the most to you? Oh, and also 19 fast break points, which was a big part of that.
Yeah, a couple things. We talked about points in the paint a lot. So I used point distribution tonight. They had 48 points in the paint, 15 points on threes, 5 free throws, and 2 other points, which I'm fairly certain was the turnaround jump shot that Khalil Ware hit on the first possession of the game, because I don't think he was in the lane. But you saw a lot of that, but not all of those were just straight post-ups. And we talked about a bunch of these already that were good cuts and things like that. There was a cut early in the game. Malik Renew found Trey Galloway on a nice back cut at the end of the shot clock to be able to get a basket. So I just thought the player movement was such a huge factor in that, not just the good passing, but being able to move guys around. So I think that was a positive. You know, 3-point shooting, IU, you know, only took 8 and made 5. It took Minnesota 26 shots to make 5. So that's been often
talked
about.
That's a ratio right there.
timely. It was, I think, the word for that. I think if you want to look at, we talked about the steals and blocks, 17 combined steals and blocks for IU is certainly huge. Yeah, I think the one area that you look at if you're concerned is kind of an area that's crept up at times for this team. They gave up 13 offensive rebounds. That only led to 9 second chance points. Yeah. Some of that, again,
well, that's way more than I thought.
Yeah. I thought it was too. I was a little bit surprised. I think but I think there were times that they would get a rebound and then they would turn the ball over. There was the one possession. I think they ended up missing 2 threes and they made the third on the same possession. But, and I think some of the long erratic shots that Minnesota was taking probably leads a little bit to that. But, you know, I think on the positive side, you look at IU's, you know, defensive, the net effect of their defense was that Minnesota shot under 39% from the floor for the game and 19% from 3. So a lot of solid work there. Like I said, the rebounding, probably the only thing to nitpick if you're so inclined, but otherwise a really favorable.
Yeah. When you miss 21 threes, you're going to get some offensive rebounds typically. So I think that had something to do with it, honestly. Garcia had a couple down low off of close in misses that he didn't really do anything with. So I think that had to do with it, but you're right. That number is much higher than I thought it would have been.
Yeah.
Just watching the game.
You know, the other number, and Andy, you said nothing to nitpick. I do think there's one other thing to nitpick, which is the performance of Malik Renew tonight. You know, if you told anybody, hey, Malik's only going to play 18 minutes and score 8 points, I think we would have felt not very good about Indiana's chances to win, let alone win by 12. And, you know, to Malik's credit, 2 of those buckets he had at the end were, you know, again, just buckets that made sure that Indiana is going to keep that lead. And I know I keep saying that, but for a team that has given up leads and had ebbs and flows, just keeping solid play going is a big step forward. And I thought Malik came in at the end, did what he needed to do, but really, Ryan, for the rest of the game, was just kind of weirdly like not able to get in the flow, you know, just seemed, whereas everybody else really seemed kind of into the offense and sharing the ball. It was like he was trying to shoot when he shouldn't and pass when he shouldn't. He just never seemed to get in the flow tonight.
You saw a few times where he got the ball out on the perimeter too and was just immediately looking to give it up and nobody was around because maybe he was supposed to do something with it. And he would just hold the ball like, hey, somebody get this from me. And, yep. You know, one time it almost led to a shot clock violation. At one point, I think he actually wound up catching the ball underneath and laying it in on that possession.
Yes, he did.
But the clock was down because he just wouldn't do anything with it. And so, yeah, he just seemed disjointed and off. And, you know, he only played 18 minutes. And 11 of that was in the second half. He played 7 in the first. And I thought it was the right move to leave him out because you felt like the lineup with Mbako, Ware, Galloway, Johnson, and who was the other one?
Walker. Leo. And Leal.
Walker. I'm sorry. Leo was out there. I'm sorry, guys. I'm coughing. Leo was out there for a long period of time in there as well. That lineup was just doing better. And so they kept taking him out. They started the game off doing the double post offense. So I don't know if you guys know, they went right back to that where it was, they were both on the block. One would go high post off, you know, depending on where the ball was swung. It's like one of the simplest plays in basketball. And it was like, oh no, they're just going to jam it inside with these two guys. Are they? And then they actually started moving out and changing it a little bit. So they didn't really need Malik tonight. And I think that with the way the defense was, they didn't need to bring him in for his offense. And I think that's why they were able to get away with it. It's because they got a lead and just needed to play defense. And obviously I think the guys who were on the floor are better defenders. So they kept sticking with that.
Yep.
Yeah. I think for him, it was the fouls in the first half really took him out of the game. You commits two fouls within a minute of one another. You know, the foul on defense was what it was. Like, you're going to get some of those. You just can't compound that by going over somebody's back on the other end, trying to get a rebound that you'd have not really a great chance to get. And I think that's where we talked about Ware visibly showed restraint at times, and almost, you know, there was a couple times he didn't. But there were times that he very much said, you could see him making a decision. I have to let this guy go. And then I think you watch Renew come out of the locker room in the second half. And it was almost like he was trying to make up for lost time. Takes a tough shot on the very first possession. It gets blocked, had a couple turnovers in the next few possessions after that. And really was just trying to do too much, but did come up with 6 big points there down the stretch just to ice things, scored a couple baskets inside the one at the end of the shot clock, hit a couple free throws, scored another one where he had a nice soft touch on a jump shot there. So, you know, came up big late as he's been, want to do a bunch of times over the course of the season, but just thought the fouls got him out of rhythm in the first half. Tried to do too much early and then was able to salvage that a little bit at the end of the game.
Ryan, would you like to talk points per possession?
I would. I've wanted to do this.
Oh, what a guess by me.
Beginning. Yeah. Indiana actually for the game, it was not that impressive. 1.061, but Minnesota was 0.853. So, I mean,
the margin is what matters, baby.
Yes, it is. In the first half, Minnesota's 0.758. And I will say in the second half, Indiana was, what was their second half, was 1.29. So much better in the second half, I would say. And Minnesota did not step up to get there. Second half, they were 1.0 even. So, and that surprised me too, because they were awful. But I think that's evened out by that last stretch where they got like 10 points in a few minutes. They're like 2 minutes there at the end.
I know. All right, coming up here on the Assembly Call, we're going to hand out our game balls. Could be a debate tonight, plus our Hoosier Hustle Award. We'll discuss a lingering question, and then look ahead to what Indiana has coming up here. One more game left in the regular season and the Big Ten tournament. That's next on the Assembly Call. Stick with us.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
This is Nick Zeisloft. I never miss an open three, and I never miss an episode of The Assembly Call.
Thank you, Nick. You know, Indiana hit 5 3-pointers tonight. What, Andy, did Zeisloft have 4 or 5 in that one first half when nothing was going right? And then I don't remember if that was 2012 or 2013, and he just went off, even hit that one like fading out of bounds.
I don't remember how many it was, but yeah.
It was at least
he like dislocated his finger too and still like came back in and was
might have been.
Might
he
be,
was
I
unconscious
might be confusing
there.
That, but
great,
sure.
great road shooting performance by Nick Zeisloft. I'm Jared Morris here with Ryan Phillips and Andy Bottoms. It is time, guys, for our game balls presented by our friends Allie and James at Bloom Environmental. And they want to make sure everyone knows about radon, a colorless, odorless radioactive gas that is the leading cause of lung cancer in non-smokers. According to the EPA, Monroe County and other surrounding counties throughout Indiana are expected to have elevated levels of radon above the action level recommended for mitigation. You can contact Bloom Environmental today, mention Assembly Call, and get a free radon test kit and mitigation estimate. Learn more at bloomenviro.com. That's bloomenviro.com. Okay, well, I'm very interested to see where everybody goes with these. Andy, we will go to you first for your game ball choice.
Always good to have options in this scenario. I'm gonna go with Kaliware. I thought the way he played defensively early in the game was really important. I thought, as much as anything, if he's not able to navigate getting through the rest of the first half without picking up a foul, but also staying on the court and contributing 6 or 8 points after that, I think the game could have gotten away from IU, because that was really, he picked up his second in a stretch where the game, IU was still behind, I think.
Yep.
Or it was very close, and he was able to stay on the floor, extend the lead, and then, you know, continue doing that with knocking down some threes. And so I'll give it to him. Trey would be a close second for me. But I think his ability to stay in the game on the first half, put him over the top for me.
Well, I saw Ryan nod his head, so I think I know where he's going. Look, I'm not going to argue with anything that you said about Khalil, but I'm going to give mine to Trey. I just thought his just entire game, you know, 13 points, but, you know, with Trey, it's not always just the points, but how efficient was he? Well, 6 of 9 from the field is very efficient. 11 assists, obviously a great number, but also the 4 rebounds, the 5 steals, and just the little things. You know, there was a play early in the first half where, you know, there's a loose ball. Trey dives on it, gets sat on. I don't even think we ended up getting it. I think he tried to get it to Khalil, and it went out of bounds. I wrote in my notes, I was like, play very indicative of the season, where Trey is just like hustling and going balls out, and it doesn't result in anything.
Yeah.
But it did, because I thought Trey really set the tone. And him pushing the pace, I think everybody then followed him. And so Khalil is a great choice, but what tips the scales for me with Trey is, if you're going to go win on the road, you do it with guards, and your guards have to step up and lead you. Trey did that tonight. So in a extremely close call, I'm giving it to Trey over Khalil. One of the best performances of his career.
I knew Khalil had a good game, and I wasn't tracking his points, you know. And then we get on here, and is it possible to have a quiet 26 points? Because I guess it's just what we've come to expect from him. I was expecting to throw it all to Trey or Mackenzie Ibaka, but I'm sorry, 26 points, 11 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 blocks and a steal in 34 minutes. It's Khalil Ware, and I love what Trey did, and I even mentioned it earlier that I think on another night he'd get it just for the effort and, you know, 11 assists and all that, but I mean, Khalil Ware is so important to this team, and it's hard to overshadow. I think I've always kind of thought of this as, it's not points, it's not, you know, the numbers specifically, it's who is the MVP. And without Khalil, with his work defensively and just being steady and scoring points and knocking down a couple threes, I just think this game looks different now.
But we've seen Khalil have big box score games and Indiana not win.
You're right.
The difference
but we've
with Trey.
We've seen Trey have big box score games in Indiana.
Not like this. Too. When he does you're this, right. We win.
Well, you know, we've seen it. I'm not going to mention games, but we've seen Kansas. But
he accounted for more points tonight than he did against Kansas.
I know he did.
That's why it was more impressive.
No, look, I'm not arguing. It's 6-1, half dozen the other.
I mean, what you're doing. Actually, I'm surprised you don't know what arguing is because you were actually doing that.
Okay. You learn something new every day. I'm not arguing that Trey wasn't great. But it's 6-1, half dozen the other. I'm going with Khalil because, you know, 26 points on 12 of 16 shooting and 11 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 blocks, 1 steal in 34 minutes. I'm surprised you didn't break out the plus minus to make your case, Jared.
Need plus minus to make the case.
They were both great. Honestly, if we could give it to both of them, I would. But I'm going to go with Khalil.
They were both fantastic. And this is the sign.
Where was 1 point worse than Galloway in plus minus? That would have been. I'm not sure. That's quite the hammer drop that you would
make your case.
That's why
you just told me.
I didn't
you're
say
arguing.
It.
Come on.
I didn't say
be good
it.
At nope. it.
No, that wouldn't have been a good argument. That's a.
But I would say my argument would have been, you saw what the lineup looked like the last few minutes of the first half without Ware on the floor.
Yeah.
I offer you that as to how this game may have gone had he not been able to stay in the game.
Well, and they stayed even Malik during that time on the court. I mean, they didn't get killed.
That was because Minnesota's terrible. It was terrible.
No, I'll tell you what it was. It's because Indiana played hard. Like, you know, Peyton Sparks had that, you know, kind of crazy drive where he got blocked by the underside of the backboard, and it should have led to points on the other side.
That's not going to be on a highlight reel anyway.
It's not going to be on a highlight reel. But those are the kinds of plays that have led to 6-0 runs for the other team. And Indiana just wasn't going to allow that tonight. And that's why I just think the tone from your senior guard leader makes such a huge impact on the road. So anyway, sign of a great performance that we can have an impassioned debate about a game ball. It hasn't happened very often this season. Nope. So it's kind of fun to linger on.
We're enjoying this, folks. Come on.
We certainly are. Okay, it is Hoosier Hustle time.
The Hoosier Real Hustle Award.
Hi, this is Anthony Leal, and it's time for the Hoosier Hustle Award. But first, let's talk about my friends at Security Pro 24/7. Who provide trusted and reliable security for your event or business. From Bloomington, my hometown, to Evansville, where Coach Calvert Chaney grew up, and everything in between. Just like hustle can't be measured by stats, prevention can't be measured either, but it has a huge impact on your bottom line and peace of mind. So let the security pros at Security Pro 24/7 help you prevent a bad outcome today. Visit securitypro247.com to learn more. That's securitypro247.com. And tell them Anthony Leal sent you.
We will. Thank you, Anthony. Hustle Award time. Ryan, you can go first. I will just preface it by saying I think this is one of those games, if you wanted to give a team-wide Hustle Award, I wouldn't argue. I thought everybody played really hard, which is part of the reason why Indiana won. I wouldn't do that. We got to make a choice. But I think there's a lot of guys that you could pick, and it's not always like that.
There are, and I'm split between two, but I'm going to go with Trey Galloway with the 11 assists, 4 rebounds. Again, he had the 5 turnovers, but he had 5 steals. You know, he was just so active on both ends. I think that you have to give it to him. He also played the most minutes, 37, and it didn't look like it. You know, he didn't look tired at the end of the game. He looked like he was ready to play another half. I love what we saw from Trey tonight, and so I'm going to give him the hustle.
Okay, Andy?
Yeah, it's Galloway for me. I think for all the reasons that you brought up, did a little bit of everything. Actually a lot of everything, but, you know, ended up with four rebounds to go with those 11 assists, 5 steals, had a block, up to in Big Ten play 29% assist rate, which is 6th in the league. He's at 25.5
and he's
on the season.
He's like 5 assists short of the IU record. I know they play more conference games now, but he's like 3 or 4 short of the IU Big Ten record for assists. I think I saw that somewhere on Twitter. You can correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah. Also,
nothing's
also
ever
showing,
gone wrong with that sentence.
Yeah.
No.
I think I saw this on Twitter.
also showing a good sense of humor. He retweeted something that somebody had said that Galloway pass related to the one that he threw, and they had the gif of Jarrett Jack of the Knicks like throwing a ball from basically one end of the court into like the 18th row on the other end. So he retweeted that with the the crying laughing emoji. So he's at least got a good sense of humor about the pass as well. So no, definitely him for me.
You know, I think this ended up going how it should have. Mbako gets the banner moment, Ware gets the game ball, and Trey gets the hustle award. All three of those guys who were just terrific. Yeah, you know, Trey obviously is going to get it. I'll just throw in honorable mention votes for Anthony Leal, obviously, who
that was my other.
The hustle award every time he's out there. I think Khalil Ware would have been a great choice. I think it's the hardest and toughest that we've seen Khalil Ware play. And for him to be doing that on March 6th for a team that isn't even on the bubble with the future that he has ahead of him, I mean, that's really impressive for him and his commitment to Indiana for this season that he's here. You know, a lot of people, you know, would have said earlier, hey, Khalil, you know, the season's not going anywhere. You need to protect yourself. And he has continued to really give everything he can to Indiana, which is great to see. Okay, guys, lingering questions. Everything's great. I don't think there are any lingering questions. So let's move on. No, I mean, look, you know, we have Assembly Car Radio coming up tomorrow. I don't know who's going to be on there. Then we have the game coming up Sunday against Michigan State. You know, obviously that's, you know, the big lingering question just for this team right now. Can they carry this into Sunday against Michigan State and on a four-game winning streak? Because if they do, just get ready for all the talk about Indiana as the dark horse Big Ten tournament team. And it won't be ridiculous talk because Indiana has two of the best NBA prospects, you know, in the entire conference, and off a four-game winning streak, that will be talked about. But they've got to get there first. You know, but
two high-end guys playing incredibly well too at this point.
Yeah, and you know, a senior guard in Trey Galloway who's stepping up and playing his best basketball, which is something that we've seen. But I guess, you know, let's use the space. Any lingering thoughts just on today's announcement? Zach Osterman reported earlier today, Mike Woodson will be back. So the speculation can end about will he or won't he. You know, we made our thoughts on that clear. You know, and so to me, the decision is made. He's the coach. Let's go. I mean, you know, you guys, you know, whatever. We can have longer conversations about it later. But to me, that's the bottom line. He's the coach. This team has now won three games in a row. You know, it's our job to rally around them, give them as much support as we can, and finish off this season as good as possible, and then approach the offseason when we get there. But we can put that storyline to bed for now.
Oh, go ahead, Andy.
Yeah, I would agree with what you said. I think at least takes the speculation kind of hovering over everything away for the time being. They can focus on finishing out the season. However that goes, certainly has been a more positive trajectory over the last few games. And I think taking that away and then let the team focus on how to finish, let the staff focus on what does that mean for next year, and let the fans focus on, okay, that's no longer a question. And I think that's the one thing that no matter what we have thought that, you know, could happen, should happen, whatever you want to say, you know, the point of us starting the show and doing the show has been in support of the program. And you know, everybody from a fan's perspective should want to see them do well and succeed. So now it's time to try to figure out under the current construct with Woodson back, what does success look like? How do you get from this season to where you need to be and want to be heading into next year? Certainly will be a lot of conversations to be had about the roster and what you do from a roster perspective to get there. I think you've seen hopefully some stylistic things over the last, you know, few games that hopefully can translate as well. And at least allows you to kind of move forward. Those conversations are gone. Maybe they didn't have merit to begin with, some would say, but at the very least, they don't have merit now because you know he's going to be back. And I think that was always the most likely outcome, no matter how
we all agree
things seem to be getting. But at least you have that.
I actually thought, I mean, I said it, I thought it was a little bit more likely than not that he wouldn't. So I don't want to,
really?
I want to lump myself in there and say,
yeah. I mean, we were all sort of tilting in that direction, but we said, I think it might've been before you came on. We all kind of said, you know, that, you know, I think he's going to be back, but here are all the reasons, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. So anyway, I think it just kind of lets everybody move on, figure out what next year is going to look like. Obviously still some games to play this season, but I think it lets you move past some of that, leave that uncertainty behind and move forward. And I think at least our intent is to, you know, be here and continue to support the program. And that's what we'll continue to do. And it's certainly more fun on nights like tonight where they played well, played with some emotion and got a big win. So it doesn't mean that we only can be here and get excited when they win. But I do think performances like this, where you see a little bit more connectedness than what it feels like you've seen over the course of the season, bode well. This is the chance to get momentum heading into that next season for him, and hopefully they can continue what they've done so far.
Yeah, I think just to put it to bed, because it's not really an issue moving forward now that they've said this, and we might talk about it at different times, but since it's the day that the announcement was made, I've seen a lot of people saying, like, well, he deserves a fourth year. He does that, you know, whatever. And there's certainly merit. We talked about that. There's merit in all the potential eventualities here. And you can make the argument one way or another, whatever. And this isn't what I'm going to say isn't related necessarily to Mike Woodson, but it's related to Indiana basketball. If you're Indiana, your aspirations are national championships. Your aspirations are not, let's make the tournament, let's get to the Sweet 16 once in a while. Your aspirations are national championships. You know, if you're a MAC school, you want to win your conference championship, go to the NCAA tournament. That's your goal. Maybe make some noise when you get there. But you're Indiana with the resources and everything. You are aiming for national championships. Now, that hasn't happened in a long time, and we haven't been close in a long time. But that's what the goal is. It doesn't matter how far into a coach's tenure you are. If you are convinced that person can't do that, you are fully justified in getting rid of them. And clearly the people in leadership positions feel that Mike Woodson, that potential still exists. And it's their decision to make. It's not ours. And so I respect that decision. I'm glad it's over. I'm glad they ended it. So now we can concentrate on the season, on the players and everything. I would expect, if he's coming back, significant staff and roster changes and turnover and all of that stuff, because I don't think this was a situation. There apparently have been a lot of meetings. I don't think this was a situation where he said, I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. And they thought that was okay. I think that certainly changes need to be made. But as soon as you know, if you're at a program like Indiana, just like if you're at Duke or you're at one of these other, you know, traditional powerhouses that has a lot of resources, as soon as you know that guy is not a national championship caliber coach, you are justified in getting rid of him every time, regardless of what his track record is, regardless how long he's been there. If it's after the first season and you say, this guy's not going to get it done, you are fully justified in getting rid of him. I don't love this. You got to give him 4, 5, 6 years. No, when you know, get rid of it. You can get rid of him. Again, Indiana clearly does not believe that's the case. They have decided to keep Mike Woodson, and we will support the program and we'll give our honest assessments of the program. But yeah, it ends this conversation as far as I'm concerned. He'll be here next year. We can criticize what happens. We can criticize his decisions. We can praise his decisions. This is going to be a very eventful offseason. I think we can all say that, and probably the most important the program has faced in a long time. But this is what the decision is, and we have to respect it. And we'll be here, you know, to do what we do, and regardless of who the head coach is, and we're always rooting for Indiana to win. Tonight, like we said, a lot of fun to win a game, a lot of fun to win a Big Ten road game. I hope that continues. And I think all of us would say the dream scenario for Indiana is for Mike Woodson to succeed beyond our wildest expectations. So we don't have to go through another restart, another coaching search, we don't like doing that. We want the guy, and it'd be a great story. IU favored son comes home, leads him to glory. That would be amazing. We'd all love to be a part of that. So, you know, that's where we're at. We're going to support the coach. We're going to root for the team, regardless of what decision I would have made. I am not the athletic director at Indiana University, unfortunately. I don't get paid that much. But, hey, Kurt Cignetti and I would get along, man.
Assembly Hall would be a pile of rubble, and yeah. He would be, yeah.
I'd be out at center court just lighting matches, you know? But no, that's not our position. It's a tough position to be in. They made their decision, and we'll respect it and root for the team regardless of what we think.
Well, and some might say it didn't need our position to weigh in as we did during the season when there were still games going on. Sure. And look, you know, a lot of people gave up on this team. You know, I think we certainly, whether we said it or not, viscerally, you know, kind of gave up on this team and start having, you know, you get caught up in all these other conversations that are going on. And is there going to be a coaching search and all this stuff? Meanwhile, these guys have stuck with it and won 3 in a row here at the end of the season. Does that redeem everything? No, of course it doesn't. No. This is still a team that probably is going to fall well short of expectations. No question about it. But, you know, you talk about roles, Ryan, earlier, and, you know, roles on teams, and you got to have stars and you got to have role players and all that stuff. And I think sometimes as fans, we need to be reminded of our roles too, which is to stay here and support the team, support the players, support the coaches, and not get so distracted by some of the extraneous stuff. So, you know, whether you agree with the decision or not, it certainly has been a lesson for me in what is a better way to approach some of these things, especially when the season is going and you have players out there busting their ass to try and win games, but they really easily could have packed it in. And they haven't, and they've played really well. So credit to them.
I'll say this, Jared, though. Our job is always to be real with the audience. That is our number one job. Not to support the program, but to be real with the audience, the people who come here every week. When those rumors were what they were, we had no choice but to address them.
We had a choice. We didn't have to address it right then.
I mean, we did. It was so loud. There was no avoiding it. Like, because we don't do that midseason. I mean, we really don't. We've talked about it, you know, briefly in a weekly show or whatever, but to dedicate a whole show to it, I'm sorry. I was hearing for people. You were hearing for people. This was not a quiet thing that this was being decided. And I think that it was fully justified. Now, I don't want to do that. I don't want to get the players down or whatever. But our job is to the audience, and plenty of people in our audience were asking us to talk about it. And so it's our, you know, we love the players, we love the program, we love the coaches, all that stuff. But our duty is not to those guys. It's to the people who watch us every week and listen, download us and listen to us. And that was a question they wanted answered. So I feel like we had to do what we did. Whether it was the right timing for other people or not, I feel like we had to address it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I would say that, and kind of what we said to lead into it last week, you know, the midweek show, or the, I guess Thursday, not the middle of the week, but you know, that has typically been where we talk about more of the macro stuff with the program. I think to Ryan's point, the macro stuff with the program had gotten pretty loud at that point, and that was, had become within the fan base really more of a talking point than the actual play on the court to a certain extent. So, and I think there've been plenty of other times in prior tenures that we didn't really get into that at that point. I think because maybe the chatter wasn't so loud. I think it's fair to think about how to do that differently, but I also think at some point it's probably disingenuous to turn a blind eye to it completely and to try to figure out how to do that. So I think we attempted to have the discussion in a way that was not, hey, this is what has to happen, this is what we would do, these are the pros, these are the cons, these are the decisions and the points of the decision to be made. And I don't know that it's certainly been more fun to do the actual, you know, post-game shows with the performance on the court, how it's been. But I think as you look at structural things going forward and roster-related things and all of that, there's going to be a lot of decisions to be made, and there's a lot of uncertainty in that regard. And that part doesn't really, you know, the part of the uncertainty is gone because the coaching uncertainty is not there, but the roster uncertainty remains. And those are some of the things that I felt like we tried to focus on, because at this point, if you frame the discussion as he's going to be back, you got to start to really think about at some point, okay, what does the path forward look like to get back to where you need to be? And that's where the roster stuff comes, comes back into play, and trying to figure out how to do that. And there'll be lots of off season to have those kinds of conversations as they figure out who's in the portal and all that stuff. But the question marks about how you turn this around, whether it's Mike Woodson or anybody else, kind of the same as they were a week ago. You got, you know, some of your better players are likely to go to the NBA draft. You lose Avery Johnson. You have some of those things. So, you know, it's hindsight's always 20/20, but I think it probably warranted at least some discussion. Did it warrant 2 hours? I don't know. That was too much show for some. You know, Ryan got a lot of credit for saying that.
I think they've gotten
pulled the ripcord and left the show before that. I had already had enough. So it was
fine. I mean, Andy was a perfect example.
Yeah. Well, more to come on that topic, for sure. And a lot of self-reflection. And, you know, for us, for the program, for everybody, you know, these are seasons that are really challenging for a number of reasons. And so hopefully everybody involved learns important lessons from everything that has happened this season. And season's not over. Yeah, I think that's the thing, is I feel like a lot of IU fans have started talking about this season in the past tense because it just felt like it was hurtling towards nothing. And again, it still doesn't project to have any meaningful successes, but there are still games to be played and a really talented team that is continuing to play. And at a minimum, we owe them you know, the full commitment and cheering and supporting them on as they try to make the most of the end of the season, especially if we're going to play like they did tonight. I mean, you know, to play as hard and as tough as they did, it was just, it was really, really nice to see. And I'm just really proud of all of them for being able to do that this late in a season that I know hasn't gone as they would have expected and hasn't gone like anybody expected. So anyway, tomorrow night it'll be AC Radio. I know Coach will be there. We may just let him do it solo and he can talk about all 28 of the assists. That'd be a nice 90-minute show.
Be a nice night for him. Yeah. He'd like that.
It'd be fun. And then IU Michigan State on Sunday with senior speeches. I don't know if they're going to do them before or after. It's always done after. So I would assume that's when it's going to be done. We usually do the show after the senior speeches so people can listen to those. But once we get the details of what's going on and who's speaking and all that stuff, we'll let you know on the various socials and community, communication channels that we have, but we'll definitely have a show. And then Big Ten tournament coming up, and it looks like Indiana will avoid Wednesday and play their opening round game. I think there's still a chance if they lose to Michigan State and if a bunch of other teams win, I don't know. I'll look this up. I think there's still a chance they could get bumped to Wednesday, but it's very unlikely.
I think they're out of that
today.
Maybe they are with tiebreakers.
Yeah, they might be. I saw some graphic the other day of like the ranges and potential seeds. I think IU's was the widest they could be anywhere.
Yeah, five to 13.
It was like 5 to 13, yeah. I think this win got them out of – don't quote me, but I think I
saw
this. Saw
it on Twitter, everybody.
Yes. Isn't that where you get all of your news? I think I saw something earlier that if they won tonight, it was likely that
it's definitely likely.
I don't know if it was for sure, but I think they're out of that. They do get a bye. They get one of the byes.
Are you reporting this? Is this certain?
I'm pretty sure that's the case.
Far too much.
So glad we're talking about.
Look, I know I'm a reporter for my day job, but you know what? I'm off the clock, guys. I'm off the clock at 5. So I'm sorry.
All right. Anyway, we will report on that officially tomorrow. Assembly Call Radio.
That would be appreciated. You guys do it. I got enough.
Everyone will know already, but we'll lead off with it on Assembly Call Radio. Check out our friends at Homefield Apparel. Promo code HOME23 to get 15% off your first order. Gentlemen, last call. Andy, lead us off.
Just excited for this team to be able to string some good performances together. When you look at this first 3-game winning streak since the end of December when they beat Morehead State, North Alabama, and Kennesaw State. So it's been a long...
Also known as Murderer's Row.
Road to go. Yeah, many have called that. But kudos to them for being able to turn around and set themselves up against a Michigan State team that struggled a bit away from home. They're 3-6 in Big Ten road games. So there's a chance there. I think their resume, while they're... put my bracketology hat on here, the predictive metrics are really good for them. The actual achievement on the court is not so much. They did beat Northwestern, but Nicholson was out for them. And that was as I texted you guys, was a rock fight, but maybe that was an insult to rock fights. And so, they come in needing a road win to help their seeding a little bit, but I think a game that should be close. You like the IU team coming in with some confidence. So hopefully they can finish strong with the season on senior day and the regular season, at least with a victory, head into the Big Ten tournament where IU has seen so much success over the years that, what better year would it be to break some of those trends than this one after everything that's gone on. So, but no, just really excited for them. The performances of Mbako, Trey and Khalil Ware were just absolutely fantastic, and those are the kinds of superstar level performances that help you win Big Ten road games, and they did just that tonight in convincing fashion. So exciting way to end the road slate, and we'll see where things go from here.
I'm very ready for Gabe Cupps to make 5 3-pointers in the first half against Michigan State and then listen to Tom Izzo lament how far down the scouting report he was. Ryan, last call.
Whiny Izzo after a game. Let's all make it happen. Come on.
I mean, guys, he hasn't even taken that many shots.
Yeah. I mean, what were we supposed to do? Actually watch a game? Andy said he's happy for the players that they were able to enjoy tonight. I'm happy for us. And I don't just mean us. I mean the fans in general that we got to enjoy that. And maybe it's been a long time coming this season, but I'm biased, but I think we deserved it more than they did at this point. But no, I think that it was a day where the news, I think a lot of the fan base wasn't welcoming of the news. And so I love the fact that then we got to actually enjoy something. And we got to, you know, if that news had been followed by a brutal loss at the barn, the vibes would not be good, guys. And right now I feel like the vibes are kind of nice. And I like when vibes are nice around Indiana basketball. Let's do more of that. I encourage that. So it was nice. It was really nice to see those guys play and play hard the entire game, completely just dominate a sleepwalking Minnesota team and not let them get back into it. At the numerous times they almost did. Indiana shut the door every time. Some great performances by key players. And now we just got one more, and it's senior day. Those guys always want to win on senior day for the seniors. I mean, it's going to be a very important day for this program to go get that win, and not just for the seniors, but also just for the momentum they've built, and maybe to show there's some real life in this program right now. Again, NCAA tournament, probably really far out of reach, nowhere near in reach, but you know what? That doesn't mean that the season's over. It means you play to the whistle. And so I'd like to see this team finish well. It would, you know, at least give us some momentum and some positive feelings heading into next season. And certainly, I think, show some of the transfer portal guys that, hey, there's something going on here that's positive. So great to see that happen tonight. I hope the team follows it up, keeps it going, and just keeps playing loose the way they have the last couple games. Play free, play without that pressure, and just try and have fun. Because I think the audience, you know, the fans need to have fun, because only a couple more games left with some of these guys who have been a joy to watch.
It's just such a weird season, you know? I mean, obviously.
Yes, Jared, it is.
I mean, you know, but what I mean is, like you said, you know, the vibes do in this moment feel good because, you know, because we just won. And I mean, just imagine telling someone at the beginning of the season, hey, your two NBA prospects, they're going to be playing their best basketball at the end of the year. You're going to win three of your last five road games. We'd be like, okay, things are going pretty well. And yet, you know, 17-13, 9-10, as good as this three-game winning streak. What was it, the 2019 season with Archie Miller after the losing 12 out of 13? Didn't we win four in a row at the end of that season as well?
I believe that is correct.
You know, and so it doesn't, again, these wins may not mean anything in the grand scheme of things, and we'll see if it ends up, you know, resulting in perhaps an NIT bid. And maybe that's one of the things we can talk about on Thursday, because that's becoming a more realistic possibility, because for some reason people think we shouldn't accept an NIT bid. I think that's ridiculous.
False.
So maybe we can talk about that. Wait, which one's false?
I'm saying that we shouldn't accept an NIT bid. False. You take play the games.
Right. Yeah. You should. Yeah. Accept the NIT bid. Right. 100%. Right. Okay.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. No, I'm saying those people who are saying you shouldn't.
Yes.
That is, okay. That is wrong. Yeah.
Okay. Good. But, you know, look, if you take it game by game, this was a terrific performance. We thought this team was going to be playing its best basketball at the end of the season. They are. We just didn't expect it to be this much of a struggle to get here. And unfortunately, they dug themselves such a big hole that they may not be able to dig themselves out of it. But, you know, if they keep playing like this with the talent they have, they can beat anybody. You know, they really do have the ability to do that. Now, can they string them together and win, you know, three or four in a row in the Big Ten tournament? Who knows? You know, one game at a time. The last three have been good. This one was terrific. Hopefully Sunday's good. And I'm just very excited to put all the other stuff aside and just show up on Sunday, cheer for this team, and hope they can keep it going. Because at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. And, you know, this team playing like this is what it's all about. Together, tough, having fun, confident. That was fun basketball, and I hope that's how they can play again on Sunday. All right, that'll do it for us on this edition of the Assembly Call. If you want to see us do the show live and be part of the live chat, make sure that you subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/assemblycall. And don't forget to go to assemblycall.com and join our free email newsletter. Special thank you to Bob Thompson for the music you hear on the show. Special thank you to John Ringer of rigdesign.com for designing our logo. And thank you, as always, for listening. We'll be back tomorrow night, Thursday night, to talk IU hoops with you again. Until then.
Take it from me, Max Bielfeldt. Keep your calves flexed, your elbows in, and your eyes on the rim. And go Hoosiers.
Thank you. Thanks for coming out.
I think they've gotten enough show.
Enough show, everybody. Also going to have to clip "I'm happy for us." That was...
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. And also, I don't want to be clipped. Please don't clip.
Happy for us.
Yeah. I am. I am mostly, happy for us. It's been mostly a long season.
Like the players, the coaches, like all these insignificant people when it comes to the, but us, I am happy for
I
us.
I meant the fans, and you know that. But also us. I mean, we have to come do this every, it's like carrying an anchor.
Such is the life they pick.
Yeah.
In other news, TJD had played 18 minutes, had 15 points, was plus 20, had four blocks, including a couple on Giannis, and then dunked incredible on the other end. So,
by the way, have
and
you
they won by like 35.
Have you seen? Have you seen my hometown's contribution to the sports world tonight? Just go look up the U.S. women's soccer game from tonight. It poured rain here today, and it's the Gold Cup semifinal, I think.
I saw a still picture that, like,
they're legitimately playing on a lake. Like, there's somebody dribbling by themselves all the way down the field, and the ball just stopped, and she ran right past it. Like, it's so bad. Like, it's hilarious. Like, they should, it should be, you know, have that Yakety Sax music behind it. The U.S. is currently up 2-1 on Canada in overtime. And
extra time, yeah.
Yep.
Nice. All right, Andy, go to bed, man. It's almost 1 o'clock.
So, what are you doing up? Jeez. God,
it is late. I know. These are this
Jen's
going to
be angry with
this
us.
This will be the norm next week. When
God, these late games, though, late when you win, week. So much better. So brutal. Better. When you lose a late game, it's like double bad. So
there are times I'm like, guys, do you want to do a 20-minute show like after those kids? We can just breeze right through everything.
One of our core strengths is not the ability to keep shows to a shorter length.
No, it's almost a parody at this point. Like if I send out an email, hey, let's keep it short, 40 minutes, it's going to go 2 hours. Like it just... And there's good intentions, too, but for some reason...
It's not just me. I know everyone's looking at me, but it's not just me. No, I'm the one usually who's like, hey, 45 minutes and out, guys. We can do this.
Yeah, but then you talk for 39 of them.
You're right. You're absolutely... I mean, look, but we all do. Let's be real.
Andy's like, yeah, I know.
Man, if you...
I mean, when you're happy for us, what are you going to do?
That's right. Exactly.
I'm thrilled for us.
All right. Sounds good. I'll talk to you guys later.
See you guys.